The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you wonderfully created the dignity of human nature, and yet more wonderfully restored it. In your mercy, let us share the divine life of the one who came to share our humanity, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with the garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 148 responsibly. Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise, sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven above the heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created.
Who made them stand and pass forever and ever, giving them the law that shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
By your eternal snow and fall, tempestuous winds, doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over the earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. A reading from Galatians. When the fullness of time has come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, to whom shall we go? The Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what was stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praising God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, the last time I preached, I sat here and held a baby in my arms and was surrounded by lots and lots of children. Do you remember that, Lila? Yes, that was on Christmas Eve. And we talked about how this baby had something to teach us about God and about our relationship with God. Well, at least that was what I planned to talk about. Children are so spontaneous, and they, with their excitement and enthusiasm, can direct a conversation any way they want that conversation to go. So we did a little bit of Santa Claus talking as well. The Christian message of God's great love that is delivered wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, that Christian message, that good news, continues for us today. But today, we hear that message delivered through not an infant, but through the very old eyes of Simeon and Anna. Now, I'm not going to ask the oldest members of our congregation to come up and sit with me in the front of the assembly, but you all know who you are. Happy birthday, Earl. 90. We have a few other 90s. And we're happy to be able to have, I was hoping that you all would be here today so that this sermon would make more sense, having the elders of our congregation in our midst. We have a saying, seeing is believing. Well, our scripture today, as so often happens in our scripture, that is turned upside down. It isn't seeing as believing, it is believing, and then we see. Because this old man, Simeon, believed that the Messiah would come, because he believed that God so loved the world, because he believed that the promise that God had made to him would be true, he did see the Messiah. He saw the fulfillment of that promise. He held in his arms the love of God, cradled in his arms the word of life, basked in the light that had come into the world. And Anna, too, an old woman who had spent all of her time in the temple waiting to see the Messiah, for her, too, believing was seeing. We had an Anna in my home church when I was growing up. I grew up in a very large cathedral church that had 6 or 7 different entrances. And no matter what door I tried to sneak in, Anna was always there at that door. She would follow you down the aisle to make sure you got your bulletin. And she carried a cane, maybe it was a long umbrella, but it found the back of any sloucher in the whole church. She seemed to just kind of appear whenever you'd kind of start slouching down or something, you get this little poke and there would be Anna. Although her name wasn't Anna. I don't know if she even had a first name. It was Miss Springer. And Miss Springer was there forever. Maybe you had a Miss Springer in your home church too. She went to every funeral, baptism, wedding. Anytime the doors of the church were open, Miss Springer was there. She died when I was in college and left her sizable estate totally to the church. Who knew? She always wore the same black wool coat that was too big for her. It hung down over her hands. And it was a long coat with these little knobby fingers sticking out that would poke people. Especially, I got poked a lot when I was a kid by Miss Springer. Poke me in the ribs, back of my head. Give me one of those little squats up the back of my head. So back to my original question. What does God want us to learn from these elders in our midst? The Bible tells us to pay attention to them, to pay attention to the elderly. The Bible tells us that God is speaking through them. The Bible tells us to honor our elders. We are called and instructed by God to give them honor. It reminds us, the Bible reminds us, that the older adults in our community are assets to us, gifts of God, witnesses to God's blessing through their presence and participation in the community. Simeon and Anna in today's reading call our attention as to pay attention to the older adults as an exemplar of faithful worship, of a personal life of devotion, and of spiritual wisdom. The significance of older adults also becomes clear as we hold within us and keep before us that image of them as God's created images, as God's creation. They're living beings in whom God breathed life and through whom life continues, our life, the next generation and the generations after that. We see in them an image of God as well as the truth of God's unfolding life. Sometimes our youth-oriented culture makes it difficult to appreciate the significance of the elders. We need to be intentional about looking for opportunities to see the blessings of the elders in our midst and what they mean to us. Believing is seeing. If we believe that the elders in our midst are indeed a blessing, then we will see opportunities to let them know that. Too often in our society, we just give in. But we need to overcome that propensity to view aging and old age as unacceptable. There's so many commercials on TV for products that I should be buying to make me look younger, hair color or stuff that takes away the wrinkles and things that shape your body different than your body shapes, and to get rid of those age, there's even something that's called age defying. No, we need to look beyond what our culture says as it is important and look rather at aging and older adulthood as indispensable, as a part of our community. They're not only models for us for the journey ahead, but we can also see what needs to improve and to sustain the quality of life for these present and future senior adults. There's three activities that are important to our coming of a personal meaning of honoring these spiritual guides in our midst. We need an awareness of the significance of older adults in our lives. We need to resist that youth-oriented that youth orientation that wants to separate the generations. And we need to recapture those generational ties. What holds us together from one generation to the next? These are really all connected. It's really all one thing. And as we listen to the scripture today, we hear that message of God's great love through the voice of these elders. Without the elders, we would not have heard that word today of God's great love. You know, we really are all connected. From our youngest baby to our most senior adult, we're all bound together. We are the extended family of God. And here in this community, we must honor and care for one another, to care for those who are in our family. One of the lessons that I have learned from the elders of our family, of our faith family, is the knowledge that we are on this lifelong journey, and our fullest embrace of that journey depends on seeing God walking with us, seeing that God is with us on this journey, and how we make a commitment to that journey, that faithful living. Mary and Joseph went to the temple on this 40th day. We've kind of telescoped our Christmas. The tradition of the church on the eighth, or the tradition of the Jewish community, on the eighth day, the boy would be circumcised. On the 33rd day, he would be taken to the temple to be dedicated to God, to be named, to be dedicated. And on the 40th day, the mother would go, if it's a boy, 80th day, if the child had been a girl. I don't know why it takes twice as long to be purified if you had a girl. But the 40th day, the woman would go to the temple to be purified and to be restored to the community after that experience of childbirth. Mary and Joseph participated in all of these activities, these rituals of their faith. They didn't know exactly what they all meant. They didn't know what the future would be for this child of theirs. They didn't know what their own future would be. But they did know that by participating in this these rituals and going through the actions, the traditions, they did know that this was important. They stepped in line behind generations and generations that had preceded them, all those believers that had gone ahead of them. And they stepped into that line that has continued for generations and generations behind them. Thanks be to God for the witness of our elders. And thanks be to God for rituals that can carry us when we don't fully understand, when our doubts or our difficulties make it difficult or hard for us to pray, when loneliness or sadness cloud our way. Thanks be to God for the faith of our extended family that has passed on these great treasures. Our good news ends with this verse today. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Perhaps that verse can be an encouragement to each one of us to keep growing and increasing in our wisdom in divine and human favor. Having been presented to God as Jesus was in the temple and as we are in our baptism, that is just the beginning of our life. May you all grow old knowing who and whose you are, knowing that no matter how old or how young, you are a precious child of God, and you are held in his loving arms. Amen.